that the oppressor might increase his riches or gain for himself. That's one offense. He that oppresseth the poor, that he that presses on upon, violates, defrauds the emptied, the brought down, to increase his riches. And the second thing is this: when the same offender that oppresses the poor continually, when he giveth, when he continually applies, continually ascribes to the rich. Now again, I you know, there's a sense in which every time we read these proverbs, there's a natural way of looking at it that has no eternal significance whatsoever. But then there's an eternal way of looking at it, a way of looking at it that has eternal significance. And that's what I want to know. I can read that verse of scripture and I understand it. I mean, I can read black words on white paper and I can mentally, I understand what it's saying. But I know this. There is significance in this passage of scripture that has eternal consequences. I know that, and that's what I want to know. I want to know, when the disciples asked the Lord, why do you preach in parables? Why do you do that? And he said, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to them it's not given. Now I want to know what the mysteries of the kingdom of God is, Neil. I want to understand what this scripture means. So the second point is this: and he that giveth to the rich, he that oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and then gives what thinks he's gotten, riches, and he gives that to the rich. When he gives that to the rich, now that word rich there, he that giveth, he that applies or ascribes to the rich. Now that word rich there, it comes from another word, and it's, if you want to jot this down, look them up. This is what I did. It's from Strong's number in Strong's Concordance. It's number 6238. And what that word, this word to the rich, comes from a word that means to accumulate or to grow and make one's self rich. He that oppresses, that pushes down, violates, defrauds the poor, the oppressed, the brought low, to increase his riches. And then he that giveth, he that ascribes to those that think that they've made themselves rich, is what the word actually means, shall surely come to want. Now, I'm going to just completely bypass the natural meaning, because all of us here understand what it's saying. If you come and you take something from somebody that's poor, and you give what you got from them, and you give it to somebody that's rich already and doesn't need it, you're gonna suffer for that. Humanly speaking. Now, so naturally speaking, we would shudder if there was a person that had virtually nothing, a Lazarus that scraped himself, you know, the dogs licked him. Somebody came and all he had was an old rag to cover up with, just a little old cover his feet or something like that, and it's just moth-eaten, and that's all he got. And somebody came and took that and gave it to the rich man that fared sumptuously every day. You'd say, what are you doing? I mean, what kind of lowlife would do something like that? But let me tell you this. Is that not truly, spiritually speaking, That is that not the tactics of false preachers, false religion in this world? Those who oppose and ridicule, charge with foolishness, and hold resentment in their heart against the people of God who are truly poor in spirit, and therefore heirs of the kingdom of God. Is this not what they're doing? I'll tell you, I'm going to show you this in just a few minutes here. I'm not going to speak long on this. But is that not what they do? Saul of Tarsus, the scripture says, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, which really the Lord revealed later was doing it to him. He had purposed in his heart to take those that were found to be of the way. And he was going to bind them and bring them back to Jerusalem to be tried for their crimes. And he raised his head in his hand against the poor, God's poor in spirit. He raised his hand against those who were the Lord's people. And God stopped him. Zechariah 2:8 gives the Lord's exhortation of his attitude toward those that raise their hand against God's anointed people. Zechariah 2:8 says, "He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye." The resentment, the animosity, the evil done to God's people, the vexing, the harassment is actually done to the Lord. So he that oppresseth the poor, he that oppresseth God's people to increase his riches, riches that he thinks that he has before God, thinking that he's done God's service, those that oppress the poor, those that oppress, those that violate, those that defraud or wrongs by not believing the Lord concerning his real revelation of who his people are. He that violates, he that oppresses the poor, the scripture says he's going to come to want. He's going to suffer. But especially when you've done it unto the least of one of these, my brethren. The Lord said, you did that to me. You did it to me. That's what he told Saul of Tarsus. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Not only are the people of God found to be the poor, he that oppresseth the poor, consider him, the Lord himself, who became poor before God for the sake of God's elect, the Lord of glory. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, Paul said, he became poor that ye through his poverty might be rich. So here the Spirit of God reveals that the Lord of all, the Lord of heaven and earth, rich beyond any man's ability to comprehend or calculate, the servant of Jehovah, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and the scripture sets forth, became poor. That's what he said. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Humbled himself as God's servant, chosen of Jehovah, and through his poverty to humble himself before God, to be his servant, he made sin through his poverty, we would be made rich. By the grace of God, there is one who is rich in himself. Rich in all of his perfection. Rich being one with the Father, one with the Spirit of God. He alone who is the God-man mediator, in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the government is upon his shoulders. Nature, providence, salvation belongs to him by gift from the Father, that he might give eternal life to as many as the Father has given him. John 1:3 says, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Everything is his by creation. Everything is his by gift from the Father. He is rich. Rich beyond our comprehension. But was made poor. Made himself poor. He was despised. He was rejected of men. A man of sorrows. Acquainted with grief. We understand a little bit about grief. Paul refers to them as being light afflictions. Oh, you don't know what I'm going through. Paul says these light afflictions. Consider him. He was acquainted with grief. He was acquainted with what we know is grief. He knew it perfectly. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We rejected him, esteemed him not. Now, being made poor for the sake of his people, the accomplishment of the work of his Father, surely he who is truly said to be made poor bore our griefs, carried our sorrows. He was smitten of God, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And God Almighty, in whom will no wise clear the guilty, when he, the Lord Jesus Christ, he who made himself poor before God, when he bore our sins, when he was made sin, God forsook him. And through his being forsaken, we'll never be. Now, he that oppresseth the poor, that one who violates, defrauds, and wrongs the Lord of glory by not believing him, by not bowing to him, he who oppresses him in man's rebellious heart, he who was made poor before God for the sake of God's elect, he who oppresses him, violates him, defrauds him by not giving him all the honor, the glory, and the praise for the revelation of his salvation that he gives sovereignly to his people. He who oppresses him by holding a thought that I will not have that man rule over me. He who does that, to spiritually think that he has increased his own riches, he who does it to increase his spiritual riches, he who does it by saying, I am not going to have that man that's set forth as being this sovereign who only died for God's elect, who has a chosen people, I will not bow to him. What I am going to bow to is I'm going to bow to myself and think that I've made myself rich. I'm going to bow to that which I know. He who oppresses the poor in order to increase himself, increase his riches, and he that gives or aligns himself with or agrees with Those that think in that way is surely going to come to want. They will find themselves in the day of judgment to have been deceived. They'll find out that their works, that which they thought made them rich and in need of nothing, they're like those at Laodicea, rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing. And the Lord told them, He said, you're poor. You have nothing. They're going to stand before God in that day, and the Lord is going to say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, may the Lord be pleased to grant unto His people, us sinners, needy sinners, may the Lord be pleased to reveal to us today, I am poor. I am needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my Lord. Now I can tell you that was out of Psalm chapter 40. And those truly are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. But all those words concerning the Lord have been made also the words of His people that say the same thing. Lord, I need You. Lord, I pray that You'd be pleased to deliver today from the blindness of sin and unbelief all that You've everlastingly known and loved in Yourself. Lord, would You deliver from that spirit of oppression, this thought right here, that I will absolutely not have that man reign over me, but I'll look to myself and to my works, and I will ascribe that which I have, and I'll give it also and be in agreement with those that think that they are rich like I think I'm rich. That thought will bring a man to want. To be cast out. To be bound hand and foot. And cast into outer darkness. May the Lord draw us again. To count all things but loss. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. And may we consider again those things that we formerly counted as gain. To be dung. I think about that even to this day. Everything that I counted to be gain to me, I realize now it's refuge. It's nothing. And may the Lord give us a heart and a desire to be found in Him, not having our own righteousness, but that righteousness which is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our righteousness alone before God. He that oppresseth the poor. Oh, and much more than just poor in this world's goods. Somebody may claim ignorance in that, but I'll tell you this, no man, no woman will ever stand before God and claim ignorance. God says they're without excuse. Without. May the Lord deliver us from the oppression of the Lord Jesus Christ, He who made Himself poor. May the Lord deliver us from thinking that we have earned our riches before God and give those to others that are like ourselves, rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing. Deliver us from that. Because only by the grace of God will we not come to want. We are what we are by the grace of God. May the Lord teach us afresh today for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's take a